Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, companions, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian wants to go to the library. Raoul looks for Hafuru Wamwa. Squash follows a friend, as Ultana tests the limits. After sharing news of their experience with Kesa to their nearest and dearest, the heroes split up to complete errands and start their sentinel-given quest. Ra makes way to the prison to speak with Lindrin, with Squash sneakily tailing him. Was that really pulled pork Pete? Is the librarian the same common as we met before? And will Lindrin stay true to his word? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
Squash,
yeah.
Zoltana, you have met. What are you going to do?
Nice to meet you.
I think when Zoltana arrives in the area where I am, I think Squash is in Lindrin's office.
Okay.
And he's just going through the place a little bit better, looking if there's anything of interest, anything of note, anything to take.
What kind of things are you looking for? Like, pretty much everything in this room has been trashed. There are, like, drawers and stuff that have been, like, obviously popped open with some sort of, like, either some sort of shiv or just, like, kicked apart. From your previous investigations, there's not really a whole lot left in here.
Oh.
But at this point, when you realize that there really isn't left in here, not even any decent alcohol or gin, there's nothing. That's when you meet up with Zoltana.
Squash acts a little surprised to see Zoltana. Like, what are you doing here?
Zoltana's like, all right, Squash, where is he?
There's like a dumb smile on Squash's face when he goes like, he's around. He's taking care of stuff. Let him do his thing.
No.
Why?
Why?
Not?
Yeah, why?
Because I'm worried that either Lindrin's going to hurt Raoul or Raoul's going to hurt Lindrin.
And either way, we know the end of that. Linton will be dead and he deserves it.
You're not wrong. What is he here for?
I think, if I understood him correctly, he's looking for an apology, but I might be way off.
He broke into a prison to get an apology from the warden. Is that what you're telling me? No, she's...
No, I feel like you're judging other people's search for closure when I don't think you have any place to judge.
What?
Squaz is poking at the fact that you went on a murder rampage when you were looking for closure for your misdeeds. Your misgivings.
Oh, yeah, when she murdered all those people because her wife was dead.
Now you're going like, oh, this makes no sense what Ral is doing when he wants closure.
She wasn't trying to get closure. She was just really angry.
True. Okay, that's
what if I'm just really angry?
She wanted revenge rather than closure. If Ral's here for revenge, you should have consulted me first, frankly. Wait, I gotta say that in character. If Ral's here for revenge, you should have consulted me first. That's like my whole deal. I'm literally the goddess of that.
True. I guess you have a point there, but... Do I see Ama?
Nope.
Ah, shit, I fucked up. I got distracted. Oh, yeah.
If you think that Zoltana's not purposely being obtuse about things right now so that Ama has a chance to sneak off, you are wrong.
Well, Squaz doesn't know for a fact that Ama's there. So.
Zoltana's saying things loud on purpose. Like, What do you mean he's down in the basement? What?
Zoltana's like giving like a thumbs up behind her back to Ama. Like, kind of like waving her on. Like, or she's like, she does like a hold and she's like, what? Okay, I won't go bother him, but where is he? I'll stay here with you. I'll help you loot the room.
I'm not looting the room. I was looking for any fucking...
Cooled out.
I think he went downstairs somewhere. I'm not 100% sure. Lindgren clearly lost control of the place. Like, there's blood here. I'm pretty sure it's his. It's his office, and there's literally nothing worth stealing. I mean, there's nothing worth anything in here anymore.
Oh, so he's probably down by the solitary where we were. And then she, like, behind her back, like, does, like, a wave on to Ama.
Squash. Yeah, I have to give it to you. As like you're having this conversation and like Zoltana's doing the, there's no way that Ama can pass the doorway without you noticing her. So yeah, you just see like a flash of gold after like Zoltana waves her through.
What?
Finally see
her. No! Zoltana!
What? What's up? What are we looking for?
Honestly, something of value. Come on! And Squash is headed for the only locked cupboard that we saw earlier. The only locked chest or shelf.
Yes. Zoltana, you would know this to be like the room that you very, very, very first came into when you first came to the prison. It's where you would have had your anti-magic bracelet put on and where you would have passed over all your gear before it got put into like storage. So you know what this room is. You know what that cupboard is for. Ral, what are you doing?
Waiting for his acid to eat the lock. Kind of folding his arms and he's pacing. He's clearly not excited. And if anyone comes down, he like stands in front of the door lock so that they can't see immediately that it's sizzling away.
He
doesn't look pleased that he's in this position.
You feel her presence before you see her. You just feel that thumping next to your heart. It's very clearly Ama that's arriving at this moment. And she makes no secret of it.
Well, gives
what
her...
do you mean you're here to get an apology?
What?
Squash just said you were here to get an apology from the warden. What the hell are you doing here?
I don't need an apology. What do I need an apology for?
Because he hung you.
He tried.
I mean, he did fail because, you know. And she kind of like reaches out to you and like reaches out to you and just like holds your shoulders and is like, okay, did you find him? Yes, I'm here. Shut up. Did you find him?
Yes, he's there.
Oh, wait. Did you apologize?
I'm not here for an apology. It's fine.
What are you here for?
I'm making sure that no one messes with you, that we have someone to make sure that no one messes with us. And that's about it.
Take a persuasion roll with advantage.
Is it a persuasion or a deception? Because I'm hiding something.
No, I'm going to say persuasion because it's going to determine her outcome. She probably knows you're holding something
19.
Back.
19.
No, 19. She kind of like reaches out and puts her hand against the side of your face, very careful not to touch any of like the sore areas. And she says, "You are so sweet."
Hugs.
Okay. So nobody is going to mess with us because you got this horrible person to help us, but he is in prison.
Raleigh sidesteps and shows her the lock.
At that point, you just like see the lock as like kind of disintegrate. That perfect moment when you step aside, it just like clanks or drops or whatever it is. It's that perfect moment.
No. He was just leaving to tell Opella that I didn't do it and to help me out on another thing, yes?
Yes.
You're probably going to need to leave with somebody. We should probably... Is there another way out?
There is, but there are probably a few people in the way. A lot less than walking out the front door.
Okay, fine.
Do you think we should get Squash and Sultana?
Yeah, I'll get them, don't worry. And Raul does Tio. Tio time. Tio will go get Sultana and Squash.
Oh, make a theme for Tio, please.
Oh my goodness. I can't just...
It's gonna be like flutes, like lightning melting.
Every time Tio does anything, it's the same song. I can't, guys.
It's Tio's theme. Tio's theme.
Come on.
Tio's theme.
Tio's theme.
Tio's theme.
Tio's theme. As you transfer your senses into Tio, you feel kind of like, even though most of your senses are in Tio, you can still feel your body a little bit, and you can feel like Emma's hand like hold onto yours, and you know she's saying something, but you can't quite make it out. However, Tio takes off along this corridor up the steps. You can see the people talking and eating, like shouting over each other. You see a small scuffle breaking out in the courtyard, and you fly with Tio into the administration wing. For the two of you who are in that room, what are you doing?
I said I was breaking into the where they store the stuff from the prisoners.
Okay, so in this room there is another doorway which leads to where all of the prisoner stuff is stored. Mm-hmm. But you notice that when you were walking through, like checking out the different places, that area had basically been well and truly looted. Oh. Like many of the boxes were turned over. You can still investigate and have a look around for anything else.
I thought you said that it was like one cupboard that looked like it had survived.
Yeah, so the initial room where the prisoners are taken to get their anti-magic bracelets or anklets put on them, they go into the room that you are currently in. Mm-hmm. It kind of has a singular cupboard in there, and you can see that it has been like knocked over, and you can see like a Zoltana at least recognize anti-magic bracelets and anklets and stuff. There is like a part of that which hasn't been opened, mm-hmm. You would assume because it's locked.
You said that one part of it is still locked?
Yeah. You would assume so, because you can't see any markings on it. Like someone has tried to tool at it, which would, well, you can draw your own conclusions from that.
Investigation whether it's like magically locked or anything like that?
Okay, yeah, go for it.
That's, oh, come on.
What do you mean, oh, come on, it's a 29?
Because I'm down to one screen. Okay, 29, yeah.
God damn it. On a 29, as you kind of like run your fingers over like the front, the side, underneath it, as you run your fingers over it, you can tell that the front of it is definitely spelled. There's some sort of trap here.
Hmm. Is this movable or is it like a part of a bigger unit?
Like the entire unit has been knocked over. So you could take the whole unit, but you would probably want, you'd have to like, you'd struggle to carry it out.
Of course, of course.
Zoltana probably less, but you would.
Yeah.
You could try breaking it down into pieces around the places where it's like magically protected, I guess.
No. Like Squash just gives up on the idea. Like once there's magic involved, it usually means that Squash can't get into it.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be kind of his experience?
Well, the last time you dealt with a magical trap, you hid under a bed and took no damage, so...
That was funny.
No.
So it's magically trapped, but not magically locked.
That would be your guess.
I am curious. I am very curious what you're hiding in this. And I think I'm just gonna let my curiosity run here. I want to try to pick the lock.
No. Okay. Zoltana, are you going to stop him?
Do I feel like it's a bad idea for him to pick the lock?
I will leave that down to your own judgment.
Nah, let him do it. I'm going to go where those anti-magic bracelets are and I'm going to pocket a couple of them.
Yeah,
so some of them have fallen out of this cabinet onto the floor, so you can definitely grab a couple. I'm going to say that you have like four of them. Like, that's fine. It's fine. We'll deal with those when they come up. Okay, I'm going to, yeah. Zoltana has picked those up. She's kind of like scrabbling around at your feet, picking a few of these up, Squash, as you try and pick this lock.
All right. What is a pick lock thing? Is it just a sleight of hand or?
Sleight of hand, thieves' tools.
All right. That's a 26 sleight of hand.
You have thieves' tools, right?
I should have thieves' tools. I'm the...
Are you trained in it?
Oh, you should definitely
be trained in
tools,
it.
Tools, thief tools,
do you have
yeah.
expertise in it?
Ah, no, I do not. So negate a draw 5 from that roll. So it's 21.
Okay, take a dexterity saving throw.
Oh,
Zoltana, you will also need to do one.
Oh.
Good. Excited.
I'm sorry.
Ooh. The prison explodes.
Sexy.
No, it's not a good roll.
Tio's going to walk in the room and it's going to explode.
I rolled a 17.
I rolled a 15.
Okay. You both fail.
Oh, boy.
Did we heal at all from last season?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah. Oh, too many.
That sounds like way too many dice.
Yeah, that was one too many. I took out the highest one because I was kind. You both take 30 fire damage as you pop open this lock and you hear a whoosh and a crackling of energy and you just erupt into flames. Yeah, you both take 30 fire damage.
What in the name of me? What was that?
My bad. I never know how this magic stuff works. Everything explodes around here.
Oh my God, Squash.
I'm sorry.
We gotta get you, like, a way to, I don't know, detect magic.
I would love to. I seem to be able to, like, stop spells, but I have to see the person that's casting it. I'm not getting it.
We gotta talk to Balance. I bet we could find you, like, some kind of way to, you know, detect magic.
I feel like we're being distracted from the real prize, and Squash pulls out whatever he's just opened.
Within it, you find a very delicate silver chain. On this chain, there are a couple of runes that have been engraved into it. You also see that it has some of the links have been replaced with a dark stone. You would assume probably some sort of onyx. And the clasp isn't done up, but it looks like one of those that you would just clip into place. This is definitely magical, and you would recognize it kind of being similar, but not the same, in design to the anti-magic bracelets.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, don't put it on. Don't put it on.
Just don't worry. I still have the patented thick gloves you guys were going to make me remove Glengarith's necklace with. That will surely save me from all the evil magic of the world.
Jesus.
I'm still upset you guys ended up giving me thick gloves to deal with the magic.
He's still bitter about it one season later. At this point, I'm going to say Tio has turned up.
Idiots. Oh, look, it's Tio.
I think in that moment, the chain just disappears into a random pocket. Just a habit. Like somebody came in to distract. Whoosh, just gone.
They look a bit singed, Tio.
Tio waves, looks at you curiously, and then runs off a short ways, takes a couple steps, and then turns back to look as if they're trying to see if you're following. They're clearly trying to get you to follow.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll follow.
Don't leave me alone.
Well, come on. Sultana.
And then Tio starts leading.
This is like the worst buddy cop movie. It's hilarious.
We're the greatest buddy cop movies. Zoltana and Squash. Amazing. Truly the most iconic duo. Name a duo more iconic than Zoltana and Squash, really.
Morecambe and Wise.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, no. Okay.
So it's like a pop culture reference that I'm not familiar with. Guess I'm going to have to Google it and learn all about it so that I can weaponize it. Weaponized pop culture is my top stat.
Okay, so the pair of you and Tio meet back up with Raal and Aemir.
Okay.
And Lindrin.
Oh, cool. I'm going to punch Lindrin in the face immediately.
Okay, could you take an attack roll?
Absolutely, I can take an attack roll.
He doesn't want to be punched in the face by you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What should I roll? Because I only have my swords and my hand axes, but I want to do an unarmed punch.
Just roll a strength, because you're not proficient in unarmed, right?
I'm not. That's a 13.
No, it's just a strength. I think it's 1 plus your strength modifier if it's just an unarmed punch. Because you're not proficient, you don't get a d4.
You only get the d4 if you're a tavern brawler or something.
Where's the...
So I think it's 1 plus your strength.
What d4?
And if it isn't, it should be 1 plus your strength. So.
Oh, for damage? Very confused.
So whatever your strength bonus is.
Uh-huh. So 6 damage.
Damn. Okay.
You punch him square in the face and he just puts a hand up to his nose, which is now bleeding. You feel a satisfying crack. And he looks down at you and he says,
what on earth was that for?
Fucking guess! You hung me, you piece of shit. And now I ain't shackled by your shit, so I can hurt you all I want.
You're that dwarf, right?
I need him to do something, so we were just leaving.
Well, okay, I won't kill him right now, but I will fucking find you. She gets like a real serious look on her face, and she's like, "That punch was not a good enough revenge for me. You were you're a dick, Lindrin. You're a dick."
I feel like I've heard that before. Right. If you want me to get out of here without being taken down by everyone else around here, We need to get into the morgue and break out that way.
The what? Rall gets nervous. I'm going to make a con save. It's a 14.
Yes. Your nose does a little bit of unhappiness. Amo reaches over the little bit of cloth and just kind of like wipes the excess away. And she says, okay, where is this morgue? We probably need to disguise you, right? Because you stand out a little bit. And I think I'm not wrong. Every single person here hates you.
Well, we give him a black eye, first of all.
You broke his nose. I think that is a good start.
Yeah, and then I give him a black eye. And then we rough up his hair, shove him in some dirt, and then we disguise him.
And then we leave through the morgue.
I think we can probably just go with some sort of disguise.
That's not nearly as fun for me.
But I think somewhat more conducive to me actually helping you.
I think you're going to help Raul regardless because he broke you out. And if you're not going to, I'm happy to call the double ones down here.
I think that we can probably just try and leave and take whatever we find from the morgue. I think that's a good option.
Wait a minute.
This way then.
Zoltana. I just called you Zoltana. Wow. I'm having heat problems today. I'm so dumb today. I'm sorry. Valanda.
No, yeah.
Does Lindgren do magic?
Not that you are aware of. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have magic. You're just not aware if he does.
I'm going to turn to Lindgren and be like, okay.
Does he have a bracelet on?
No, he does not.
So fair, completely fair truce, right? For now, truce. I'm not sorry for punching you in the face, but let's have a truce. And she stretches out her hand to shake it with him.
Take a persuasion roll. I think I know what you're doing.
Oh, I think you know what I'm doing.
Raul is saying under his breath.
I highly approve of this.
Raul 17. Is saying under his breath, like, this is why I wanted to come alone.
Fair.
It's okay, your friends. We worry about you. He tentatively puts a hand out and shakes your hand.
I bring my other hand up and slap an anti-magic bracelet on his wrist.
You see it lock and you do see it glow very, very slightly. You have inhibited something here.
Then Zoltana just cackles and starts walking towards the morgue. Let me do my best witch cackle. I'm not very good at it, but... I told you, I'm not a cackler.
That's great.
Get some Kessie in here.
No, that's exactly how Zoltana would cackle.
Yes.
Cackle yes. with an accent.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Cacklescent.
You see him look down and just like shake his head and he says, well, this is going to cost me. And he makes his way out of the room. He leads you out past the solitary cells. He leads you to the end of the corridor and turns left. Up ahead, you can see that there is like a guard room. You know this was here. This is where people could run from to immediately come and deal with, you know, you lot being in solitary if there was a problem. Not that there really was, but sometimes. And you can see that there are three double ones in there, and they are kind of talking to themselves, talking to each other, playing a game of cards. And Lindgren kind of takes a step back, so he's no longer in along that corridor, no longer seen by them. And he says, through there is the entrance to the morgue. And from there, we can leave.
Okay. 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 Rog walks in the room.
You walk into the room. There are three double ones there. Each of them have two of them have short swords and one of them has a rapier. All three of them are dwarves and they're wearing, you know, pieces of armor. You can see that one of the tattoos is fairly fresh and you recognize him as an ex-guard. Like he was a guard when you were here. He's now one of them. Yeah. I think... Yes, this guy's name is legitimately Pete.
Is his name legitimately Pete?
No,
Is that his gang name?
The other. You said there were three, right? Can one of them should be repeat, and the other one should be not a Pete?
Oh no!
This joke has been made. I am 99% sure.
I am nothing if not a fount of reused jokes.
I feel like this pun run is petering out, so we should just be.
Oh no.
Okay. Yeah, not a lot of Pete puns.
For Pete's sake, guys, come on. I'm sitting here waiting.
Yeah, so one of them is a former guard that you recognize as Pete, who is a bald, mostly hairless dwarf, and the other two are definitely double one prisoners that you recognize from back in the day.
Hmm. Okay, Raw has, like, almost no HP.
And?
I know it didn't stop me from coming in here, so,
Nope.
Yeah, Raul goes in and, he acts like he's just going to the morgue. He's going to open that door. His plan is to get through the room and open the door so that everyone else can get through it very quickly.
Okay. As you make your way across this room, the former guard, like, reaches out and he says,
Whoa.
I'll recognize you. You're Rao. We hung you.
You fucking tried, didn't you?
What the fuck are you doing here?
My own business. You should leave it, maybe.
No. You're not supposed to be here. We got, like, orders and whatnot that you're not supposed to be here, you or any of the other two.
Hmm. From who?
You know, from the boss.
Who's the boss?
All right, boys, just get him.
Hour of reaping.
All right, well, first we're doing initiative. Squash, what did you get?
10.
There we go. I got a natural 20.
Tana, what did you get? Natural 20. Bam, 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 bam.
Doesn't Squash get advantage or some bullshit for his initiative?
Oh, he does, yes.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
You have that, yes.
Now I know how to play your character.
Ha ha.
I knew I'd get there.
All right, 15.
Raul got...
All right, that doesn't move you or initiative at all. And Raul got a...
23.
Fantastic. Raal, Hour of Reaping, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Okay, one of the guards that is not a Pete, he runs just like straight, like, oh, he can't run past you, can he? He can't run towards you.
Raal was making his way to the door wherever that was, so if it was adjacent, then
yeah,
they could get
you wouldn't
by,
have made it there. Yeah. So for them, the only option is to go through the morgue. You see him run to the door, open it, and just run as far as he can into this dark room. The other two, however, are not frightened by you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all that I can do. That's an action, I believe. What is bonuses? Okay.
I think you can use your bonus as a monk to do some hiding, riding, jumping stuff. I don't really remember exactly.
I'm going to use a key... I don't know how many key points I've used today.
Ooh.
Well, we did just level up, didn't we?
Level up?
No.
Level up.
We didn't. Okay.
Good try, though.
You haven't had a long rest since the last time we played.
Yeah, I can't remember how many, but I know I had at least one.
So are you saying that we don't get to start on an extra level for season 2? Wow.
Nope.
Rude.
You have not slept since season two.
He's going to use his evasion thingy.
Okay. Great. Sultana. You just hear Pete yelling, "Get it, boys!"
I'm going to run in and hit him with the truly great greatsword.
Okay.
Did I do two or three? I did three.
I think you do two as like your like normal and extra attacks.
Yeah.
So the first one is a 14, and that one fails to connect, but your 26 does hit. Who would you want to like smack down?
Let's just go with Pete.
All right, fuck Pete. In which you do 2 damage plus 11 slashing damage plus 3 wrath damage. Yeah. Oh no, you're not wrathing it. Plus 7 smite. 7 improved smite. So in total, you do 20 damage.
Oh, great. I should also be raging. I'll start raging after.
That's okay. You have to get the first hit in and then remind yourself to be raging. Like that's just the Sultana way. All right. Pete is looking officially bloodied. He doesn't look great. Squash.
Yeah. I think... The plan was to get through the morgue. There was like an exit somewhere there.
Yes.
All right. I think Squash is just going to grab the other side of the anti-magic bracelet that Lindgren has on him. And he's just going to charge at the morgue door and try to get through there.
So you're trying to drag Lindgren with you?
Yeah. I'm trying to get Lindgren out of there. Raoul, for some reason, wants him or needs him. So that's what Squash is going to do.
Okay, Lindgren is all for this. Are you using just your 35? Are you using 70? What's your speed plan here?
I want to like move at the speed that Lindgren can because Lindgren's hurt.
He only got a broken nose.
Okay, he's been in prison for a day or two with people that probably don't care much for him. So I'm assuming he only has 30 movement speed, or maybe less, but whatever.
Yeah, he only has 30, yeah.
Yeah. So Squash is going to move at 30 and just charge into the morgue and then like, okay, Lindgren, come on.
Right, yes. But move aside, prisoners. As you charge 60 feet basically through this room, you've made it to the door with Lindgren, and I'm going to say that's kind of where you are.
All right.
Makes sense, I guess.
That does mean I still have my action, though, if I only move 60 feet.
Yeah.
I'm going to fairy fire the two dudes.
Okay.
The ones that are still fighting.
Sure. Okay, go ahead. Click the button for that so I can read what you're doing.
God damn it. There you go.
Each object is outlined in a color. Pick a color.
Green.
Green, okay. Okay, in that case, I also need Sultana and Raoul to make dexterity saving throws.
I'm, of course, throwing this so I catch as few friends as I can because I get to choose.
Then you pick one of them.
Let's say Raoul, because I know he has a higher chance of getting out of this.
18.
Ta-da!
Plus Sultana's
aura. Oh, yeah, aura.
Yeah, of course. Like, so yeah, Raoul doesn't care about this whatsoever. Let's say Pete, because screw Pete. Pete is lit up in a green glow. he is now easier to hit.
And the other dude?
The other dude passes.
Ah, boo.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay, alrighty then. Pete, the guard that you managed to effectively fear is still running through the morgue. You just don't know where. You did a good number on that one. Pete is going to pull out his short sword and he is going to attack Raoul. It's a disadvantage because you have dodge, right?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Natural one.
Oh.
So one strike goes completely wide. let's do a second attack.
That'll be...
And the second attack just kind of like does a thing where it goes really close to your neck, but you kind of lean back a little bit, so it just completely misses you. God, I hear you. And the other guy is now going to attack you as well.
No.
That's a miss. That's a success. Short sword, I think, is a D8, right? It's a 1d6. Okay. And you take 5 slashing damage.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to say, Raul has 12 hit points total, which definitely puts him bloodied. However, I don't know. We weren't doing that before, so I'll say that now it's probably kicking in. Who knows?
Things are looking rough as Raul takes some damage. Raul, things get super weird in here. Like, you've been just surviving on adrenaline and all the strange things that have been happening. This really gets to you now. And as you're beginning to fight this, the walls begin to, like, fade away and turn into smoke. You begin to see the ground turn into some metal that has been corroded by acid, so it's kind of boiling in places. You can see that the enemies around you are all just outlined in this strange green glow, every single one of them, the two of them. I guess you would see 5 of them, because you have your 3 companions in the room. They all turn into a strange green glow, so you can't see their features very well. They are just green lights that are attacking you. Good job, Raul.
Great.
Good job.
Should I make a save?
Great. No, you have to live with this now.
Okay.
You have to live with this. This is your own machinations. I forgot to roll for Amos, so I'm putting her in with the guards. Aima rushes forward and she throws a dagger. Ooh, 19 to hit. She's throwing it at Pete, so that should be an advantage. Let me do that again. God damn!
Oh boy.
Okay.
Was that sneak attack?
That was a sneak attack and a crit on her throwing a dagger. I should have made her throw it at the other one because she would have killed him instantly. Okay.
Don't make sure you double the sneak attack damage.
She has 7 plus 2 is
9.
It makes a con save. Pete fails, so it takes 7 poison damage.
The poison damage should actually be double dice as well.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. I'm just going to roll 2d10 here. All right, so in total, she's currently done 12, 14, 16 damage. Jeez. 16 plus 12 is 28.
Ouch. Wow.
Plus 48 damage from the sneak attack.
Wow.
Pete was well and truly dead the first time she hit him.
Wow.
And she would have... Basically, she has enough damage to kill them both. But she doesn't, so Pete just goes down with
super
this dagger
dead.
In his neck.
Oh my goodness.
Just hits the deck, unable to do much. She just runs into the room and yanks the dagger out of his throat. Cool. Aima finally did something. I'm so proud.
Committed a murder in front of the person that tried to hang me from murder. Good job, Aima. Good job.
He's distracted by being pulled away by Squash. It's fine.
This is why I wanted to do this alone.
I swear to Christ, Raul, I was doing my absolute best so you could do this alone. But I'm getting played like a fucking fiddle.
Okay, it is now Raul's go. Pete's dead. One of the green glowy orbs has disappeared. And you see another one rushing into its place that's much larger and much taller.
Okay. Shit. Yeah, I think that Raul is overwhelmed by the amount of no hit points he has. And the only things he has a single target. And I don't want to just really pick anybody. I could breath weapon.
Do it.
Yeah, Raul gets scared in breath weapons at the green things.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to need Sultana, the remaining guard, and Aba to make dexterity saves.
I'm trying
saves,
to think right? if he would even do this. Is he really scared enough to just, like, be that reckless?
Possibility. Aima makes it.
Okay, good.
The other guard does not.
Good.
I don't know if Sultana has made it, but I think that your save is more than 11, right?
Yeah, it's...
Oh no, Sultana gets a plus four.
3 or 4
from your charisma, right?
So I have 15.
Yeah, so you get a 15. It's a 16. God damn it. Okay, the remaining guard takes 10 acid damage, and Sultana, I'm afraid you also take 10 acid damage.
Oh.
Fine. Just fine.
As Aima just kind of dodges out of the way, looking very confused. Sultana, Ral, is there anything else you want to do? You have bonus?
No. He's scared. He's going to back up. So.
Okay. Okay, that's
try
fine.
Try to get away from all the green things. Corner himself a little bit.
Yeah, no, right. You kind of back up. Like, you feel like an invisible wall of force, which is stopping you from going back any further, because so far as you're aware in your vision, you can't see any walls.
Yeah.
This is super not good. Okay, Sultana, it is now your go.
I'm going to tried and true just attack him again.
Alright.
Do some attacks. I think I'll give a couple to repeat over there instead this time. I think I get advantage, right? Because I have the...
No, your rage gives you extra damage, I think. I don't think it allows you to attack with advantage. Oh, no, this one passed his glowy green stuff. 26 to hit is 2 plus 13, that's 15, plus another 10 from the Divine Wrath and Improved Smite. So that is 25 on your second hit. The first one goes wide.
Nice. That's
nice.
It.
Nice, nice, nice. This one is looking truly effed up. Take an intimidation roll.
21.
Tien, if you're listening, thank you for these dice, but also...
How dare you?
How dare? You can see that the last dwarf standing throws his short sword on the ground and just, like, puts their hands up and says, I'm sorry, I won't attack you, I'll back up, you can go through, I won't tell anyone, I saw nothing, I promise. Squash. What do you want
to
do?
I'm taking Lindred to the morgue. I wasn't going to murder these motherfuckers.
You find yourself in a morgue. There are a couple of tables here, which are big enough to lay people on should the worst happen. There is a cabinet in the corner underneath what looks like kind of a hole. With your now dark sight, you can see that there is a hole in the ceiling, but it's very difficult to see unless you know it's there, and it's directly over where this cabinet is. So if you were to presumably climb on the cabin and climb up, you would go through something. However, on your right hand side, you can very easily see a set of stairs that go up, and you can see the dwarf that pegged it earlier just has thrown those doors open, and then they're still running. You can hear the sounds of screaming and yelling about death being everywhere, and the guards who had gone slightly quieter have now just riled back up thinking that death is walking amongst them.
These people are not going to sleep for months.
No.
There's going to be, like, ghost stories about this place for next decade, minimum.
Yes, absolutely there is.
Lindrin said, like, I'm assuming I can see the exit, but Squash is just letting Lindrin kind of, like, once Squash pushes him in that room, or once Squash leads him into the room, Squash is just going to let him, like,
I need to get something to cover my... And he rushes over to the corner and opens up the cabinet, and he pulls out, like, a couple of, like, spare overalls or, a couple of sheets and whatever. And he just very quickly changes into one. So that's basically his action, his entire move. Like, that's everything he can do this round.
Yeah. Squash is basically just gonna use his turn to find,
a well-hidden spot, so if somebody comes running through the door, he can just snipe them.
Yeah, I'm going to say you can just do that. Like, sure, you're absolutely able to do that. Okay, it's now the guard's turn. The guard has surrendered and thrown the weapon down, so they do nothing. Aimer sees him throwing the weapon down, decides better off throwing the dagger at them, puts it away, and heads over towards Ral, who is seeing nothing but a giant green glow hitting in his direction. That's basically their go. So now it's Ral's turn.
Oh no, V, you're going to make me attack Aimer.
you hear kind of like echoey, someone is trying to say something, but you can't really make it out.
They can see these hallucinations, yeah.
Yeah, like the like.
I'll tell you what Ral's gonna do.
Oh no!
Because Ral was gonna do this anyways.
Okay.
Ral's gonna try to focus in how scared he is, and he's gonna focus particularly on the spot where you said he felt a lot of pain when he was made a specter. He's gonna try to use the fact that he's a specter now to slip into the stalking easier. He's going to try to just go to the stalking.
You
want to
break on through to the other side. Fade away.
Yeah. Maybe there I can make sense of anything.
Okay. I basically decided that I had accidentally lost track of when the last time you had used this ability was.
Ooh.
Of breaking through. Because fade away is more the get hit, disappear.
Breaking through, deliberately designed to go there.
Yeah. I decided to reset it because I kind of lost track of exactly when it was because it was during some skips.
Well, now he has his little specter mark, so he's going to try anyways because now he might be able to slip in a little bit differently.
Okay, let's figure out what your role was. We have it written down here somewhere.
I think it was a wisdom.
Yes, I believe you're right.
Is it a save or just a regular roll?
It's just a regular roll.
16.
Ah. Persuasion plus proficiency mod.
Oh. It's a persuasion?
Yep, I found it. Yep, I found it.
Plus proficiency? Okay, well, it's plus the same for wisdom anyways. So it would still be a 16, just plus 5 with proficiency. So 21.
That's great. Then you make it through. In this realm, you see your spectre friend nearby. You see him exactly as he is. There's no more terrifying version of him unless he was wearing, I don't know, a sombrero or like shorts and sandals. I don't know. Like, it's just, you can't make him any scarier than he is. So it's somewhat familiar to you. And he reaches out and he holds onto your shoulder and he says,
"Just take a breath. You're going to be fine."
Hey, Spectre.
Hi. Just take a breath. The things that you see are not real. Just trust in them, just for a moment. How are you doing, Ralph?
Fine for now. I'm going to be a specter later. That's fun.
I know.
Ral kind of is starting to like look around more, calm himself down a bit.
I think you'll enjoy it for a while. And I'll make sure that I can mentor you through as much of this.
And then you get thrown back into the real world.
No, wait, one more question. No.
Okay, quick. Do I get another question? That's another question. Go on, real quick.
Hey, Spectre?
Yes.
Can you show me how to do the hourglass thing? It's maybe just for Aima. Can I see? And he like is like looking to Spectre's arm, like where the hourglasses show up when he looks at people's hourglasses.
Oh, you want to see how long someone has left before they die?
Yeah, specifically he wanted to know if he could like figure out how to do this.
Oh boy.
And he was asking to keep track of Aima's.
You get thrown back into the real world. That's a question I will deal with on another day. Okay, good job. I'm just going to say you're just kind of invisible for this round until Zoltana decides what she wants to do with the remaining person.
He wants to leave, right?
Yeah, he's surrendering.
Let him go. I'm going to be like, okay, well, you better not say anything. And I'm going to walk past him.
In that case, you're out of initiative. Zoltana, can you please? And she points to Rel, who's bleeding. You're suddenly seeing the swollen eyes, the arm that's not moving quite as well as it should be.
I'm going to walk over to...
He's calmed down to where he's not attacking things that approach him, but he's just kind of dealing right now. And he did disappear for a second as Amos started walking over.
I'm going to walk over to Rel, and how badly did you get hurt, dude?
I have if I get hit once more, I'll probably go down.
I'm going to lay on hands for 20 points.
Woo, okay.
So now all I have is 5 left. I'm also looking real beat up, by the way, because out of my 111 health, I'm at 25.
Hey, not far off from me.
Hey, health buddies, I got 25 too.
Hey. I want to go back and sleep. For forever.
Okay. I need... So you all meet up in the morgue and you can see the exit. And Amy says, okay, if there are people running around outside, we need to get through this quickly and as quietly as possible. I can probably help some of you get through here. I'm pretty stealthy myself and I think you are too. And she looks down at Squash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sultana, just try your best and I will try and cover for you.
Clank, clank, clank.
I think your boots make them clank less.
I was about to say, you do have the boots of anti-clank.
I'm wearing them.
So they should be, it should be literally the first one.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to need a group stealth check, please.
Alrighty then. That sounds like my forte.
I rolled a 28.
Squash?
I rolled a 25.
Stealth?
Aima also rolled a 25 stealth.
I got a 10.
Lindrin also failed, but 3 of you succeeded, so that's good enough for me.
I'm getting you idiots out of this.
So every time Zoltana goes to clunk a little bit, Aima just kind of kicks the back of your foot into an area which is full of less dirt and stuff. As Lindrin stumbles, Squash can help write him Rao just kind of nudge him in a direction. You manage to make it out of this. Are you going through the front door, or are you just going to go over a wall?
I think we're following Lindrin, right?
Yeah, then in that case, Lindrin would take you out through the front. He has no other options.
All right.
Okay. You've successfully done what I wanted you to do in season 1. Good job. Okay, I'm going to leave the 5 of you there. Okay. Laffian.
Is it me?
So,
it me?
The pair of you are, and along with the librarian, are working on reading this kind of tome. The librarian is looking at the very old map. It's very crumbly and it takes a delicate touch. You can see that they're wearing soft gloves as they're holding onto it and reading through it, cross-referencing dates and names and places. As you shout them out, they try and figure out where it is on this very old map, compared to a newer one, which they also managed to pull out. I would like you to roll an investigation with advantage, please. This is essentially you and Kythia figuring out some information.
Okay. 21.
Okay. With a 21, you can ask me... I will give you a thing and then you can ask me a specific question.
Okay.
Does that sound fair? Okay. So, Brad Grimlock.
Uh-huh.
Such a good name. The biography of Brad Grimlock. He was a dwarven scholar from before the Great War with the Lich, the Dracolich. They seem to have studied texts of old, texts that were carved into stones when they were first made. The places, four different places across all of Bikron, where things were written in the language of the Sentinels. They said it looked suspiciously like their language, but then the world wasn't all that old when they were around. It tells tale of how to make the world. He spent years doing this. He dedicated his life to figuring out what each of these pillars were, figuring out what each of these stones left behind meant, where they go, where they guided you to. Each of the texts that he wrote about, he mentioned a place. And the last of his biography, the last thing that anybody ever knew about him, was that he had sailed to the one place that was common across all four tablets. A place called Geata.
Fuck. As I check my map for a
This is why I gave you the information before I allowed you to ask me a question.
That's real far away.
Yeah, the only thing that Lafian would really know is that Geata is somewhere to the north.
And we used to have trade deals with them.
Yes, you also have that treaty. You do have that. But as for actually knowing where it is, you wouldn't even begin to know enough to tell a mage how to get there if they had a teleport spell.
Is it on the map?
It is on the map, but that's not necessarily the best guide for a mage to get to a place. Because they have to be able to visualize it.
All right, so to make sure I understand, so this guy found that there were four pillars in the world that were written in like the Sentinels' language, but it seemed similar to their language?
Yeah, it's fairly similar to Dwarven, but really old Dwarven, which for him would have been ridiculously old in context, I guess, because he's, you know, yeah.
And all of the information that he had about those pillars was that it pertained to something with creating worlds.
Yes, specifically the creation of this world.
Okay.
Like his biography spoke about how long he had spent like researching these things, trying to figure out how the world worked, how this world in particular worked. For him, that was something he dedicated his life to. Just the creation of worlds, the creations of everything around. He wanted to know how it worked from a mechanical point of view.
Okay. And he only knew the location of one pillar, which was in Geata.
He knew the location of the four of them, but each of the pillars spoke about Geata. So from four sources, four pillars, he realized that there is something in Geata, and that's where he went as the last entry in this biography that anybody wrote about him.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Okay. Laffian just turns to Kaithi and is just like, well, the information's good. The actual location, he kind of just shrugs. I don't really know how to get there. We have that treaty, but don't know if there are people living there or how to get there.
I don't know. We could try and look for some descriptions of Geata and maybe give it to a mage and hope that they could teleport us there. We could try and charter a boat, I guess, and I mean, there must be people who have been there or something in the treaty about how to get there. Or maybe it's just, you know, something legal about trading corn or something. I don't know.
What did I, because it on my character sheet, it shows that I don't have the Book of Treaties anymore. What did I do with it? Do you remember? I think I have it. Oh.
I think I have
it. Okay, that, you know, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a look at the treaties then, see if there's anything there that might give us a clue, and worst case scenario, then we might need to see if we can get somebody to take a leap of faith teleporting us there. That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Reckless teleporting hurts.
I'm worried because if they don't know where they're going, they can't visualize it, then we could end up really far off course. We may not even end up being together. I don't have to come along. I would like to, but I still have things I gotta do. Anyway, we could try and
look at the treaties.
Okay, let's look at the treaties. She opens up the book, and the print is like really fine. It's like really tiny, so she like kind of like ask the librarian common for like a reading glass, and like together they set it up. They have like candles around, so it's easier to read. The sun is beginning to do that thing where it begins to dip a little bit. It's getting a little dark in here. The librarian casts a very simple cantrip of lights, so it's a little easier to see what's going on, but it's still very flickery in this library. And she begins to read through it. It's probably a bit in time. You begin to feel a little bit hungry, a little bit thirsty, all the good stuff, but she seems to be intent on this reading, lost in what she's doing. And eventually she says, okay, there's... I think I found something. Could you look up, make sure I try and pronounce this right, as I frequently move all of my screens so I can see my goddamn map. okay, there's a port here called Kolfur Enbiad.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Okay, I better spell this out. C U L F O R E.
Wait. All right. Can you give me a moment? Spell that out a little slower, please, so I can check if it's on the old map and where it would be on the new map.
Okay, sure. Okay. C U L F O R E. And then, like, there's a second word, and it's E N N. And there's a dash, and then B-Y-D.
V, remember how we had that discussion where just because you write something down doesn't mean you shouldn't say it out loud first?
But that's, like, I can't even read this. This isn't, like, old dwarven. Give me a break, okay?
This is we're Runwa all over again. Looks good on paper.
No, Kolfur Enbiad. I don't know why you find that. It's just Kolfur. I have another place that's even more complicated to pronounce, but that's Future Me's problem. Okay, so apparently that's a port in Geta. It has a pretty good description here. I need to translate it, but this place might be worth it if we want to try and teleport there. It describes the ocean, it describes the beach, it describes the port and some houses there. I don't know if... There doesn't seem to be any, like, really significant landmarks. Like, you know, there's a dragon carved into the chalk or anything, but this might be good enough. This might be as good as we get out of here.
We can try running it by some of the mages and see if they think it's sufficient or not.
Okay. We can try it. We might have a start, at least.
A start.
Whew. Okay. I'm going to try and figure out if I can find out the names of any other books that maybe this guy wrote that maybe has more in the text. Maybe that can help with figuring some things out about how things work. I have an idea, and it's not a good one. I might be able to get some... Have you heard of the Library of Ogma?
I've heard of Ogma. From what I understand, apparently I'm... Or rather, Ogma is inclined towards me. Was, I suppose. Is.
Was. Was. I guess.
The temple that was in...
So...
Or underground, when I... Well, besides the point.
Yeah. There's rumors in Kino that Ogma has a library, and it has all this information in it, like pretty much any book ever written. But I didn't even know how to get there when I was there. It's one of those things that's kept super secret.
Do we know what it looks like?
Apparently, there are some obelisks and dunes of sand. That's all I've really got. I'd have to speak to someone else. At this point, the librarian comes across and she says,
"The Library of Orgmar, you say? I might know someone who could have been there potentially at some point. I can investigate this if you think it's that important. It's a favor I'd rather not call in, though. Is it worth doing that, do you think?"
Knowledge is half the battle, and right now we need all the knowledge we can get, so... Perhaps Ogma left something there that can be of use to us in his absence.
If I call in this favor, I'd very much like to go there. It's the librarian's library, after all. I'd love a chance to see it.
I'm not opposed to it, as long as there are no dangers. I just ask that you make sure that you come back with us, then. I don't want to feel responsible for somebody staying behind in a mythical library that somehow vanishes again.
I don't know exactly how it works. I know some people can visit and others can't. Some can remove books and return them, and yet you can't go again. It's a little odd. I'll reach out to him.
And if it's in Kino, then we're not touching that.
I don't believe he went to Kino. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have. I'll send him a message and see what happens. Where can I find you? Where are you staying?
Probably best to get hold of us by talking to Tremple over at the Witches' Society.
Oh, the Witches' Society, of course. What an interesting chap.
Interesting's one way to describe him, sure.
I'll just get a message to Tremple. Not a problem. I don't know how long the message will take to reach him, that's the only thing.
Expedience is key here.
Oh, arse. I guess I better find myself a cleric then.
Is this a issue that can be resolved with money?
Possibly. I need to find a cleric with sending.
You know what? Let's see if I can flex a little bit of the old touch here. Hang on one moment. Laughing's going to pull out a parchment and a quill and ink. And he's going to try to write out a very official IOU from the Dathridir family for the services of a message or a sending spell to be paid to the cleric in possession of the scroll, and see if Dad could just pay for it.
Wow.
So he's going to write up like a official. Well, I can't, I'm doing air quotes. I'm a fucking prince. I'm writing up an official document saying this person's going to do a sending spell for this person, and in exchange, they can cash it in with the Dathridirs. Done.
I don't know how much weight that will have here in the Dawn.
Money is money. Doesn't matter who it comes from.
I'll try. I will try. On that note, get out my library.
Very fair. Have a good evening.
I left a call in my favor. Oh dear, this won't end very well.
They kind of like chase you out of the library and lock up. They take off in the direction actually of the Witches' Society. Kind of the direction they go off into.
Are we doing one of those awkward things? It's like, all right, see you later, and then like you both start walking in the same direction, and you're like,
yeah, it's like, you're walking this way.
No. Going that. Well, you know what? We'll go the scenic route. It's a lovely evening. Have a good night. It starts going off in like down a different direction with KP. It's like, that was awkward. Yeah. It was a little awkward. All right.
That was really weird.
Librarians tend to be a little peculiar, but that's okay.
She looks like a little like fake out outraged at that. Like, how dare you? and she says, So I was thinking about going back to Kino for a couple of days, now that we have people can go backwards and forwards. I want to try and get some people that will meet Rowena, make sure that she's okay.
If you think that's safe, then I'm all for it.
For whatever reason, I think Opella's okay with us, me officially breaking the treaty, being here and all, you know, because of Savarese's army. But I don't know how long that will last. And I think I can do more good in Kino than I can here. But I'm only a teleport away now. It's not like it's going to take 30 days to get there and 30 days back. It's not so bad.
It's very handy magic.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know, a little stunned, I guess, that amongst all the chaos, I managed to meet the book girl. And she just had people traveling with her that could do this. So I guess all the stars aligned.
As long as you bring people with you to protect you, I would be all right with it. But with how things are in Kino right now, I'm still concerned about who can be trusted and who can't.
I know. I know some good people still. Yeah, I just gotta hope that they're still there. The book said that she met some nice people who helped her. I mean, I think that's what she said. She said a lot. Lafian, what do you want to do after all this? I mean, provided the trial or whatever it is that you're going to go through leaves you afterwards. That there even is a you.
Well,
if we make it through this.
If we get through all of this, then we unite all peoples, we establish rules, trades, make sure that the world is not going to destroy itself after we've tried to protect it so hard. And then live a happy life and make sure that future generations can do much the same.
Does that we mean that you're gonna be staying in this? I don't want to get back into politics. I told you that I was going to be marrying someone over there for political, and I don't want that life. Is that a problem for you?
That depends on how against it you would be.
Well, I don't want to be involved in that, but I know that you do. It's in your blood, like, literally. But I also know that you're going to be living for a few hundred years beyond me. I guess I'm just asking if you could just give me that time.
I don't think that would be a problem. Barring my father and brother going missing or worse, I don't think that's an issue. Besides, I'm still young. I'd still like to see the world when it's not on fire.
Me too. I'm just worried because things keep changing here. The world, any... When those shadows attacked, your dad was really close to dying. Your mom saved him. I'm just worried. That's all. I wanted to tell you before things got too far down a path I can't back out of.
I will do what I can. I can't make any certainties or any promises with how things are.
Okay. I guess we just hope it doesn't come up before I die. Right?
Worst case scenario, I'll go bargain with death again. We're good friends now. We're on first name terms. It's fine, I'm sure. Mirkle and I, we were chilling. We were hanging out. It was fine. I'll make a bargain. We'll get an extension, an IOU or something. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
I mean,
I trust you.
With everything going on, I'm going to be temporarily a sentinel. I'll be kind of Mirkle's boss for, like, a little bit. Maybe I can finagle something in there. Write up a quick contract.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good enough for me.
I've bartered with death. I've argued with the dragon. We're about to save the world. I think we can figure something out.
Thank you. I know it's not easy, but thank you.
Nothing is easy. Nothing in this life is easy. Except dying. That part can apparently be very easy.
Yeah. Don't do that either, okay? Because apparently you're needed to be a sentinel now, whatever that means.
I couldn't tell you. Unless that means I die, in which case I kind of have to, but let's hope not.
Just get as much information as you can. Preferably try to get things written down so that I can read them through and maybe I can work with whatever is remaining of the Witches Society to make sure that that is not a thing. Okay, I don't want you all to die.
Agreed.
Okay.
So about that cooking, at that point, it starts walking up.
Okay, well, what you do?
Hello, and thank you for listening to the second episode of Season 2. I really, really liked this one, personally, so I hope you did too. We want to remind everybody that we have a website, we have a bunch of fun fan art on it, and as was mentioned in the last week's episode, we have a new timeline where you can kind of see what happened before the start of the Lucky Die, and you can see what, like, the kind of breakdown of day-to-day events in the Lucky Die. It's really cool, and we put a lot of work into it. And we also want to thank Jerry Gifford for being our most recent Patreon, so thank you so much, Jerry. And we also want to thank Holly for playing Common for us. It matters so much to have different voices and different people expressing themselves through TLD, and I really, really like it. Other than that, I don't think I have much more. And if you stick around for a couple more seconds, me and V are actually going to talk about this podcast called Dice Shame. So I'm going to let past me and past V take the reins.
Do you want to listen to a cool new podcast set in Storm King's Thunder?
Do I?
Yes, you do. There is a podcast called Dice Shame.
Shaming dices? That sounds like fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. Go listen to Joe, her partner Harlan, his brother Alex, and their best friends Justin and Rob as they take on the daunting world of Faerun in this epic, legendary module.
Boy,
thing.
They have two friends? How lucky.
Unlike us. Anyway, Dice Shame is actually a really good podcast, as much as we're goofing off here. They're just this podcast, and they play games which you can listen to exactly the same way they play them at home. So they just have a lot of fun with it. They don't take themselves too seriously, and they kind of take the rules a little seriously, but not massively much. So it's just a really good podcast. When can we listen to them, Aether?
Well, I think they make an episode every week. Thursday, every Thursday.
Yep.
Thursday morning?
Specifically, it says in this that they do it every Thursday morning. So if you want to set your watch by every Thursday morning, you can find them almost literally everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all the other good podcatchery places.
So if you're looking for a good actual play to listen to, something to binge, go get them.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.